Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power. Here on the Burgundy and Gold today, you're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock in about 25 minutes. About Steve Weish, chief national reporter for the NFL Network, is going to join the program. We'll take a spin around the National Football League with our guy Steve Weish. I teased going into break that I was going to say something to you all that was going to ruffle your feathers a little bit. I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to hold off on that because there was something else that I wanted to get to that definitely piggybacks off of the Burgundy and Bold segment that we just had. We're still taking your calls on that as well, 301-230-0980. If you have any bold predictions for the 2025 Washington Commanders season, we'll do that every Friday here on the Burgundy and Gold today. But my Burgundy and Bold prediction was the fact that I think by season's end, Trey Amos will be considered by everyone this team's best cornerback. I'm already there. He has had the best camp of all of the corners. But Albert Breer of the MMQB, he goes around to all 32 training camps throughout the summer, and he writes a blurb afterwards about his biggest takeaways from being out in camp. From his visit in Ashburn, he had this to say, quote, "Another thing that will help Dan Quinn and defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. get creative is an upgraded secondary. The corner spot is much better than it was a year ago, with Marshawn Lattimore looking more like his New Orleans era self, rookie Trey Amos quickly emerging as a starting level player, and Mike Samra still being able to settle in at the slot position with the outside spots taken care of. There's depth there too, with vets Noah Igbinoghi and Jonathan Jones. Meanwhile, at safety, third-year man Quan Martin emerged as the breakout star of camp over the past month, playing faster and becoming more vocal as a leader alongside veterans Will Harris, and guess who he name dropped? Revo! I'm a Jammy Reeves stan. If I could buy his jersey, I would. I don't think his jersey is sold because he's a special teamer. But like, I'd rock the 3-9 all day long. He just plays football the way that I played it. Hair on fire, man. Shawty just gets it. But Albert Breer, what did you take away from that? Albert Breer hyping up Trey Amos as well. He is already, I don't even want to say it again. I think quickly, we will find out very quickly that he is this team's best corner. And that's not a slight to Marshawn Lattimore. That is not a slight to Mikey Samra still. I think it just speaks to more of just how good of a camp Trey Amos has had, man. And he says all the right things. He's got a smile that'll light up a room. There is a confidence that he plays with that I just think he just can't teach. 301-230-0980 is the number. Taking your calls on Burgundy and Bold. Your top bold predictions for the 2025 Washington Commanders. Speaking of bold, the NFL top 100 list, you know, used to be, you know, regarded as the most trusted list that comes out during quote unquote list season. As we talk about the dog days leading up to the start of the regular season, I'm going to make a bold statement here. This year, the NFL top 100 is absolute garbage, Garbino, trash, junk, crap, terrible. And here's why. So Jaden Daniels, and it's not because of this. Jaden Daniels was revealed last night as the 21st best player in the National Football League. And to this point, this list has honestly been bad. And I'm not even complaining about the Jaden Daniels thing, because here's the quiet part out loud. You talk about me crowning somebody too damn soon. What about y'all? What about you? Jaden Daniels already being looked at. People are upset, hot under the collar, bothered by the fact that he came in ranked as the 21st best player in the NFL. It's been one season, people. So, and this has happened multiple times throughout this offseason. There was the Charles Robinson, YahooSports.com top 10 quarterback list. He omitted Jaden Daniels. Another Yahoo Sports list had Jaden as like the ninth best quarterback in the NFL. It's been one season. I'm not willing to go out and crown Jaden Daniels just yet. I know what he is. We know what he is. I think if I was a betting man, I would bet that, yeah, this time next year we're talking about him as the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. but he's got to replicate last year's success. And that is easier said than done. The National Football League takes no prisoners. By the grace of God, he was able to play all 17 games last year and stay healthy throughout the playoffs. Fingers crossed that happens again. I think it will. We talked about this a little bit with Kilgore. He just has this unique ability to not get touched. It's almost like he's playing backyard football when he is out there, man. And I'll say it again. There is no quarterback in the National Football League that threatens the line of scrimmage as a traditional passer the way that Jaden Daniels does. Not even close. He is the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL. Point blank. Some NFL pro insight, a couple of numbers to kind of justify him back just how special J.D. Five was during his rookie campaign. Jaden Daniels threw for 3,160 yards, seventh most, while completing a 68.5 completion percentage from the shotgun last year. So the way he fared in the shotgun last year was awesome. He attempted 14 passes from under center last year, tied for the second fewest of any of the 36 qualified quarterbacks. And in those 14 attempts, 11 of 14, 105 yards and two touchdowns. All of his 14 under center pass attempts featured play action. That's just Cliff King. That's good offensive coordinating, if you ask me. Because if you're Cliff, why try to put a square peg into a round hole, right? That is what he does best, working out of the center, working from out of the gun, working out of the pistol, working off of play action from under center. So give me more of that. Give me all of that that you possibly can. But in terms of him being ranked as the 21st best player in the National Football League, stop crying. It's nothing to whine about. It's nothing to moan about. I had to hear you all earlier this offseason. Why is he not considered a top 10 quarterback? It's been 1 year, people. It's been 1 year. There are other guys that may not have as good of a body of work as him last year, but throughout the course of their career have done some really special things. So to this point, this list to me has been garbage, but the Jaden Daniels ranking to me, not garbage. Some of the garbage rankings on here that really, really, really bother me. We were talking about it on the phone. There's no way in heck. There's no universe. There's no alternate reality even where Zach Bond is better than Micah Parsons. I don't care that he missed games last year. I don't care about the recency bias of this contract conundrum. Micah Parsons may be considered the best defensive player in the sport. Zach Bond's not in that category. When I'm thinking of that combo of best defensive players in the sport, it's T.J. Watt, it's Myles Garrett, it's Micah Parsons. That's where the list stops to me, right? It's hard for a member of the secondary to have that type of impact to be considered one of the best guys on that side of the ball. But you pick up what I'm putting down here. The impact of Micah Parsons, it's honestly impossible to overstate it. He is the real deal. He dictates game plans on the offensive side of the football. People stay up at night worrying about this young man. Something else that stood out to me that kind of annoyed me. Christian McCaffrey played four games last year and came in ranked as the 73rd best player. This is what I'm worried about or confused about, I guess. Are we ranking the top 100 from last year? Or are we ranking the top 100 overall? Because that changes the way that I look at this. If we're ranking the top 100 overall, then yeah, okay, Christian McCaffrey probably should be way lower on this list. Because Christian McCaffrey, when healthy, I mean, there's only a handful of backs that I would rather have. Kirby Joseph last year, Kirby Joseph was a man possessed, 58 tackles, 12 pass defense, 9 picks, had a pick 6. He's the 71st ranked player in the NFL with those numbers. NFL top 100 do better, meaning players do better. And the biggest omission of them all, there's no way that second-team All-Pro linebacker Zaire Franklin is not on this list. I rest my case on that. 301-230-0980 is the number. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by our pal Steve Weish of the NFL Network. When we get back, though, a couple of housekeeping notes that I want to get to, including why maybe just maybe we're asleep on the rest of the NFCs. That is next. Here on the Team 980.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on the Burgundy and Gold Today, or tapped in the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock in about 11 minutes. We'll be joined by Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, Steve Weish. We'll take a spin around the National Football League with him. Still taking your calls on Burgundy and Bold if you've got any. Your bold predictions for the 2025 Washington Commanders. Right now, though, I wanted to get into something that I know is probably going to ruffle some feathers. I want to get into something that I know people may be bothered by. And I'm going to briefly mention it now before we get to Steve Weish. And then on Monday, we're going to get into it hot and heavy. I think a lot of us here locally, fans, media, you have it, are asleep at the wheel when it comes to the rest of this division. Talking about the NFC East. The Giants, much improved. The Eagles are the Eagles. And the Dallas Cowboys have had one of the best offseasons outside of the Micah Parsons saga of any team in the National Football League. I'll even take it, and before I take it a step further, let's just really look at it for what it is. You play six games within the NFC East each year. I think Vegas had Washington's division win total set at 3.5. 3.5, meaning if they go over, it's 4 wins. If they go under, it's 3 wins, which would mean a record of even 4-2 or 500 at 3-3. But I don't think that Vegas is taking into account, and I'm not trying to sit here and pump up the New York Giants as if they're some super difficult outfit. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm not a crazy person. But I will say this. The Giants' biggest weakness last year, ask anybody that is in tune with what's going on out there in Jersey, their biggest issue last year on this football team was their secondary. So when you add Paulson Adebo from New Orleans and pay him big-time money to be your quarterback one, when you bring in a Javon Holland and give him big-time money, when you have Tyler Newbin coming into year number two, their safety from a year ago out of Minnesota, the former second-round pick, I like that group. I do. And then most importantly, that secondary, Anthony could probably pay corner for the New York Giants. When you have a pass rush like that, that is expected to get after the opposing team's quarterback through hell or high water by hook or by crook. Anybody can play corner for them. But that football team to me is much improved. The other thing is this that you all sleep on. Daniel Jones is horrible. Can I repeat that? Horrible. He's not their starting quarterback anymore. It's now Russell Wilson. Mr. Unlimited, but really in reality is limited. But here is the thing. That wide receiver trio of Malik Nabers, if they're healthy, right? Key caveat here. Of Malik Nabers, right? Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson. It's a good group. It's a pretty damn good group. So I am not sleep at all on the Giants. Did Cam Scadaboo get any bump last night? I know he's been on the shelf with an injury. So last night, 3 carries, 12 yards for Scadaboo. That's the other guy that I think we're asleep at the wheel with when it comes to the Giants. He will have a role on this football team coming up next year. He will be able, to have a role and carve out a role next year. This year, rather. I think he will. But more importantly, I think the Giants are not a bottom feeder here in the NFL. Especially if they're going to go with Jackson Dart. And if you saw him last night, woo-wee, Jackson Dart looked damn good. He has had an excellent preseason. If you were putting together an all-preseason team, your starting quarterback is Jackson Dart. Aura personified. That young man's got moxie, grit, toughness. If you're Brian Daboll, there's no way you're going to be able to keep him on the bench for long. I know there was a battle between him and Jameis Winston. Well, who's going to be the number two? I think that question should be put to bed. The question should be now if you're Brian Daboll, are you getting Jackson Dart prepared for week one in Washington? That's got to be the thought. The shortcomings for this team is the offensive line. Andrew Thomas came off a pup 2 days ago. They brought in Jermaine Illuminor, and he's a guy that I think stabilizes you a little bit at the tackle spot. And then you drafted one of my favorite cats coming out in this class, Marcus Embo from Purdue. Like, that's a guy drafted in the fifth round, but definitely could have been a third or fourth round pick. So that offensive line is going to be, you know, the telltale sign of how good this group is. But if that group can at least be average, look out for the Giants. I mean, they may be a 7-8 win team coming up in 2025. The other thing is this. The Dallas Cowboys, you all, and I get it, right? We're Commanders fans. We're supposed to hate Dallas. Y'all should give me a little bit of extra credit. I was raised in a Dallas Cowboys household, and I'm 27, so we were terrible. Every week, it was my aunt, my uncle barking at me. You know, the Redskins go win this week? While Dallas continued to underachieve, go 8-8, and get bounced in the opening round of the playoffs. Despite all of that, if you've been asleep at the wheel, their offseason, specifically the draft, their first four picks in the draft, A+. Tyler Booker comes in, and as a floor, probably one of the highest floors in all of the first round of the picks that were available. They draft him at 12th overall. You now pair him up with Trey Smith. You've got one of the best guard tandems in football. Second round pick, a guy that we wanted here in the nation's capital. 16.5 sacks last year at Boston College. Insert Donovan Ezeraku. You're adding Donovan Ezeraku to Micah Parsons when he stops crying. Dante Fowler, who had 10.5 sacks last year. Sam Williams coming off of injury. Marshawn Nealon coming off of injury. I like that group. And then Oso Odighizuwa got paid the bag this offseason. I like that group. Their pass rush is going to be extremely formidable. The big question is going to be, well, how long is it going to take for Micah to get out there? And obviously, you know, that's a conversation for another day. But if they are healthy, that group, awesome. I said their first four picks, though, stood out. Third round, they get Siobhan Revel, a guy that if he didn't have the ACL, would have been a first-round corner. He can play. How quickly can they get him up to speed? And then their fifth-round pick, Jaden Blue, guy that's got burst and wiggle at that spot. So sleep if you want on the Dallas Cowboys. I think they are a much-improved group. The question for Dallas is going to be this. One, when does Micah Parsons get in the building? And then two, can you keep Dak Prescott upright? Because if you can, and we got some numbers for you on the way out, Dak Prescott, over the past several years, since the start of his career, rather, not even just the past several years, Dak Prescott with a record of 33-8. 33-8 against the NFC East is Dakota Rain Prescott. So if you're sleep on the Dallas Cowboys, wake the hell up. Point blank. Not only is Washington going to have a difficult schedule based on them having to play the NFC North and the AFC West, but your six games in division are not going to be a cakewalk. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, Steve Weisch, joins us next.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Burgundy and Gold. Today you're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, riding with you for about another half hour as we take you on your afternoon drive home. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the second time this program, is where we find Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, our pal Steve Weisch. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Weisch89. NFL Network will carry six live preseason week three games, including a quadruple header with re-airs of each and every game streaming available on NFL Plus for that. You can also catch Steve on NFL Game Day Kickoff and NFL Game Day Final, which airs before and after each live game on the NFL Network. Steve, we appreciate you making some time for us, my brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Linnell. Thanks for having me, my man.
The pride of Howard University. Always love having you on, my guy. Let's get right into it, man. We were talking about the NFC East before we brought you on. And you know the folks here in Washington still sipping the Kool-Aid for good reasons, right? This is a good organization now. spearheaded by Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, and Adam Peters. But when it comes to the rest of the NFC East, do you think that folks are maybe sleeping on teams like Dallas and New York? Not saying New York is going to be any sort of front runner, Steve. We know that. But with the Dallas Cowboys, if I said this to you, Steve, what would be your reaction? The gap between Philly and Washington bigger than the gap between Washington and Dallas?
I would disagree with that. I think Philly and Washington, look, there's a reason why they faced off in the NFC Championship game. Philadelphia clearly is the team to beat in the NFC. I think there's going to be some teams right there on their heels, and Washington is one of them. I think Washington has got better defensively, especially cornerback. You know, they love the rookie Trey Amos. Offensive line, they should be better if Laremy Tunsil is able to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Adding Deebo Samuel gives them an element that they didn't have the offense last year. Jaden Daniels is a year better in the scheme. And I do think they'll eventually get Terry McLaurin done. So I think Washington is better. Dallas, just too many unknowns right now. Yes, they added George Pickens to the wide receiving core, and yes, Dak Prescott seems like he's going to be healthy, but new head coach, new play caller. Defensively, they've got a lot of questions. So, you know, you don't look at the teams that have as many questions. That's Washington and Philadelphia. I think the Giants and Dallas still have a lot more questions.
Speaking of another counterpart within the division, Jackson Dart, Steve, has been awesome throughout preseason to this point. Do you think he has made the decision difficult for Brian Daboll? I know they've already named Russell the starter, but based off what you've seen from Dart, man, he seems primed and ready for the moment.
Yeah, but, I mean, it doesn't make the decision difficult. I mean, he's played well. We've seen quarterbacks play well before. Teams go undefeated in the preseason. One of them, Steve Spurrier's Washington team. no, but Jackson Dart looks fantastic. Moxie. But one thing when you look at the rookie quarterbacks, you saw this with Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. is how do other guys on the team respond to him?
Yeah.
And those guys are responding to Jackson Dart. He runs the scheme well, that kind of run-pass option scheme that we saw Brian Daboll really do well with Josh Allen in Buffalo before he got the job with the Giants. So, yeah, I mean, right now he looks the part, but preseason is totally different than the regular season. And if you look at the Giants' schedule, that is as brutal of a schedule.
It is.
The toughest strength of schedule in the NFL. So you don't want to put a rookie into that. Maybe once you get 5-8 games in, you'll see, but not right now.
I think it's a fair way to put it. It'd be a difficult decision for me, Steve. That's why I'm not paid the big bucks to make the decision that Daves has to make. But for all the reasons that you listed, man, I think he's got the moxie. They respond to him, and he definitely would provide a shot in the arm for that group. But we'll say this, though. I mean, Russell Wilson, to me, is going to give this group a shot early on. I know they've got a tough schedule, Steve, and that offensive line is in a tough spot right now. I know they just activated Andrew Thomas off a PUP, but, you know, the guys they have on the perimeter, man, when you talk about a receiver trio of Malik Nabers and Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson, if those guys can stay healthy, maybe, just maybe, New York could sneak up on some people, but their pass rush is really what gets me intrigued. What have you heard out of Giants camp about Abdul Carter?
Well, what haven't we heard? I mean, it's funny, we're talking about Jackson Dart, but Abdul Carter's been a star at training camp.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy they say you can't block. You can do a lot of different things with him, and then you add him to Burns. You add him to Thibodeau. You add him to Dexter Lawrence. My goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, they are going to be – they have the potential. I mean, defensively, all the way around, they've got the potential to be in every game that they play. Now it's just a matter of protecting the ball and putting points on the board other than field goals if they're going to really make a threat. But, you know, the way this team is built, it could be an exciting team because the defense can keep them in games. Right. But Abdul Carter, he looks like he's going to be the superstar, and this is the rookie we're not talking about, and we should be.
Yeah, he's going to be here in the DMV coming up in week one. Giants and Commanders from Northwest Stadium to kick off the season. Should be a good one there. The 49ers today making a trade to acquire former Washington back now, Brian Robinson Jr. They send DC a sixth-round pick. When you consider what San Fran's dealing with right now at the wide receiver position, Brandon Ayuk on the shelf to at least week six, according to Shanahan, Juwan Jennings a little bit disgruntled. Do you think bringing in another traditional back like B-Rob frees them up to use McCaffrey as more of a wide receiver here?
Well, they're going to use him as a receiver anyway. That's just what they do. That's why he's, when healthy, the most dangerous running back in the NFL, maybe outside of Saquon Barkley. But that versatility is insane. And then you add a guy like Robinson, who's a really good inside zone running back, which is what they love to do. You can tandem them. You can go two back if you need to. So, you know, look, it's a tough move for Washington. You understand why they did it. They like the other running backs better. It's a good pickup for San Francisco, especially knowing McCaffrey's durability issues. And hopefully Brian Robinson can continue to build, because very few running backs have not succeeded in that scheme.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's probably why the arrow should be trending up for him. I know it was, you know, a hot button conversation here this week about, you know, should he be expendable, should he not? I think here locally, maybe there's less of an appreciation for him, but on the national scene, definitely have heard some folks speak highly of him. Speaking of the 49ers and their team outlook for this year, they moved off of a couple of pretty significant pieces in order to, you know, lock up Brock Purdy long term. They were 1-7, though, Steve, last year when Purdy had to throw the football 30 or more times. Do you think this is a guy that has the chops to, you know, carry the offense if they ask him to do so?
Yes. I mean, they had injuries all over the place last year. They were the most banged-up team with frontline players probably in the NFL. Offensive line, defensive line. I mean, they were absolutely battered except for Nick Bosa. Linebacker, secondary, wide receiver, running back.
You name it, yeah.
So, you know, we can sit there and say, Brock Purdy, you got to throw the ball this many times. Well, he's got to throw that ball that many times because they were behind because their defense got tagged.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, when you know, I live on the West Coast. I see a lot of Niners games. This is not Brock Purdy's issue. He is a fine quarterback, especially for what they do. So I expect him to bounce back and have a very strong year.
Steve, there's a division that really intrigues me. Not because I think it's overly talented, but there are a bunch of storylines for each team, it feels like. The AFC South, super interesting to me. That front that Houston has, it's probably the most under-talked about unit in the National Football League. That front four is going to game wreck and get after people. We'll see if they can pick up the pieces on offense now that they've given C.J. Stroud a little bit more autonomy there. But Cam Ward down in Tennessee, man. The last 2 years, we've seen Jayden Daniels come here and change Washington. We saw Stroud change Houston. Talking to my guy Teron Davenport down there in Tennessee late last week, man. I mean, people can't stop singing the praises of Cam Ward. I don't want to put that type of pressure on him to be a Jayden Daniels or a C.J. Stroud, but it would not stun me if he got Tennessee off to a good start. Their big issue is going to be health, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, look, the quarterbacks that you mentioned, he's probably walking into the least talented situation, but he's so good. And some of the pieces they put around him, they can be competitive,
yes.
You know, especially in a division where every team's got significant question marks. I mean, I really do like Houston. I think C.J. Stroud's fantastic, but their offensive line is still something to work around. Their wide receiving core, they still have some issues. Jacksonville, a ton of talent. But can Trevor Lawrence get it together? And then the Colts, that quarterback situation. Otherwise, they're talented. So there's no reason why Cam Ward can't get Tennessee going. He looks the part. He leads the part. And as we've seen, again, with someone like Jayden Daniels, that's hugely important in trying to change a culture and trying to get things pointed upwards. And again, everything you hear, everything you see points to him being like the perfect piece to build around.
Yeah, I heard the report coming out that him and Jeffrey Simmons got into a little bit of a dust-up, and I loved his response to it, man. He just seems to carry himself the right way, and you heard all the stuff last year with Jayden Daniels getting to the facility early and the leadership stuff being there. Seems like here early on, Cam Ward's got a lot of the same stuff. We're joined right now by Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, our pal Steve Weish. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Weish89. That's W-Y-C-H-E. 89, and then make sure you check out NFL Network. They'll carry 6 live preseason Week 3 games, including a quadruple header with re-airs of every game streaming on NFL Plus. You can also catch Steve on NFL Game Day Kickoff and NFL Game Day Final, which airs before and after each live game on the NFL Network. Now, I got to ask you about the messy stuff that's going on here in Dallas. Do you remember anything like this in recent memory where the owner, it clearly seems like he's trying to drive a wedge between Micah Parsons and David Mulugeta, and to Mulugeta's credit, like, he's quickly become, you know, probably the most established, you know, agent in the National Football League when you think about his client base What do you make of the situation in Dallas, and is it surprising, even considering that it's the Cowboys?
Well, you know, look, the dynamic there is just different because Jerry's also the owner as well as the contract negotiator and GM.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's gone so public with this and Micah has kind of stood up to him, it's – look, it goes back – you know, you think about the Emmitt Smith, Jerry Jones stuff back in the day. Now, there wasn't social media back then, right?
Right.
But,
right.
Like, this is petty. This is tacky. Maybe they get something done. I mean, the last thing I could think like this is when Carson Palmer, then the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, was like, I'll just retire.
Yeah.
And the Bengals ended up getting a sweet deal at the midseason and trading him to the Raiders. But, you know, people you talk to say Micah Parsons is not afraid to miss game checks.
Wow.
You know, like he'll go ahead and do what he needs to do. And then that's when things get real sticky. Because Dallas is not going to be what it could be without Micah Parsons. And so the fact that Jerry's doing this media tour and being so open is, you know, that's
incredible.
That's what's different about this.
Yeah.
You know, communicate with each other, not the route that he's taking. Because usually, you know, it's the player who's popping off, not the owner.
I mean, I know they've, you know, given every indication that they're not willing to move him. But if someone comes with a Godfather offer, and I'm sure they probably already have. I mean, is the relationship, you know, repairable at this point? Because it feels like to me, the more talking we hear, the worse things are getting, you know? And maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe I'm overreacting to it. But, like, to treat your star defensive player like this, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we know, as you just mentioned, Dallas's defense night and day different with Parsons than without Parsons.
Yeah, relationships are always reparable. I mean, there's always a soft landing spot in cash.
Right, for sure.
So, you know, we've seen a lot of hostilities because in the end, players tend to play for their teammates and organizations more so than an owner, a general manager, or a coach. So they can fix it, but they're clearly on both sides is a lack of trust. And you know, for any relationship to have longstanding success, trust does have to be built, established, and absolutely in lockstep.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll end on this, my friend. When you think about the sophomore quarterbacks this year, McCarthy, Nix, Daniels, Caleb Williams, Penix, Drake May, who do you think has the best team success in 2025?
I love every one of those guys, by the way.
Yes, I do too. It's a good damn class, man.
I think Drake May and the Patriots are going to make significant gains. But to me, it's Jaden and the Commanders and Bo Nix and the Broncos. I mean, just overall, their teams are well-established. They've got great leadership. They've got incredibly supportive ownership, just really good culture in the buildings. To support them. So I think those are the two, but all of those quarterbacks have opportunities. Caleb, of course, is the biggest question mark.
Looked good the other night.
Ben Johnson. He looked good the other night.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys look good, you know, the other night. Again, I put very measurable stock in the preseason.
I dig that.
So we'll see. I pull it for him. He's an incredibly talented player. And if he gets it going, the Bears could really shake things up in that division.
Yes, they could. Steve, we enjoy you as always, man. Appreciate you giving us some time. Enjoy your weekend, good guy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That is Steve Wyche, Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network. Give him a follow on the X app at Wyche89, one of the absolute best talking all things NFL. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put a bow on the show. We'll get through a couple of calls. Plus, me and Ann will revisit the conversation we were just hashing over with Steve Wyche. We sleep at the wheel when it comes to the Commanders and their opponents in the NFC East. We'll wrap up the show next. 301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on the Burgundy and Gold today, you're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, riding with you for about another 10 minutes or so as we get you home here on this Friday evening. Big weekend coming up ahead. Shedeur Sanders going to get some action tomorrow for the Cleveland Browns. We got Washington wrapping up their preseason slate. Cut down to 53 is on Tuesday. So we're probably going to see some cuts tomorrow, honestly. They play early enough in the afternoon where dudes are probably going to start getting cut tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see, man. I honestly cannot wait for the start of the regular season, but you got to get through cut down day first. A couple of housekeeping notes in terms of what I'm looking for between now and cut down day. One, does Terry McLaurin show up to tomorrow's preseason contest? Two, is there anybody that forces their way onto either the practice squad or this 53? And then if I'm going to circle and highlight one guy in particular, this or one unit, I guess, in particular, this kickoff coverage unit has got to get better. Matt Gay, throughout the first two games of the preseason, simply not kicking it deep enough. They gave up a big return for a touchdown in the preseason opener. And then last week, felt like the average starting field position for Cincinnati was like the 37-yard line. So got to be a little bit better when it comes to, you know, that area of the game. And the ironic part about it is last year, and DQ spoke about this, last year they took so much pride, and I still think they take pride in it. They were just so damn good in terms of their kickoff unit a season ago. And it doesn't seem like, you know, to start this year that that's a group that they've, you know, got much confidence in. Will wants to chime in before we get on out of here. What's up, Will?
What's going on, man? I know I love the show. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, indeed, brother. I appreciate you calling in.
One quick question I really want to ask you, man, and I really wanted to ask Brian Mitchell, but I didn't get a chance to get on it. Well, I would just real quick. I want to ask this. In order to get to the Super Bowl, the running backs we need are Ernest Byner and Ricky Irving type style running backs. The type of running backs I feel like we got right now, Linnell, is LaDell Betts and Rock Cartwright. How far are we going to get into the Super Bowl? How far are we going to get?
You know, that's my era, Liddell, man. You talking LaDell. That's my dude.
Please. I love them. I love them.
You know what's crazy? Can I tell you a secret, Will? This is how much of a junkie I am for the product. Guess what I was watching last night on the way to bed? Redskins and Buccaneers from 2009. Rock Cartwright, the opening kickoff, takes a touchback. That's what I do. I wish I could go back to 07, man.
But how far are we going to get? We need an Ernest Byner. We need a Ricky Irvin. We need these guys to get us further into the suit and, you know, to get us over the hump. This year, I see us getting to the playoffs. That's as far as we're gonna get with the running backs we got. I mean, we got a guy that we just let go of, and then we got him back. Like everybody's talking about that 40-yard run.
If you're sleep on Chris Rodriguez, Will, I tell you to wake up, brother. I don't know, man.
I love him, but he ain't that. He ain't him.
Here's the thing. I don't think they need either of those four backs to be quote unquote him. I just think, you know, they got to stay ahead of the sticks, which was think about what last year was and what was most important for this offense. They just got to stay ahead of the chains. I think that's the number one thing with this group. I appreciate you as always, Will, man. Hopefully, you keep tuning in and keep calling in, brother. 301-230-0980 is the number. Who the hell does – okay, because I'm going to get right to you now. Who you think you are calling, hanging up? What's up, man?
Oh, I get on?
Oh, you got right on. What's going on, brother?
How you feel?
I feel amazing. I always feel good when I hear from you. That's how I know it's football season, when I hear from you.
Yeah, man. I got one thing I need to say that I think that the bold prediction is that Brian Robinson is going to be leading the 49ers in rushing sometime in October because of, you know, regular injuries and stuff because that's what McCaffrey does. He gets hurt. And him leading that team rushing, we're still not going to miss him.
So I hear what you're saying. The idea of missing him, I think, probably overstates it. I just wonder if you'll have a little bit of seller's remorse. We asked that question earlier in the show, and it's based off of the fact that Eckler is the only established guy in this backfield. That's no slight to the other guys, right? And then Bill Kroski Merritt, who I love. I think he's got real legitimate juice. And with a running back, man, when you got it, it's very easy to tell that you've got it. He has it. But can he stay healthy? The first two games of the preseason, the very next practice, he's in a black non-contact jersey. So I wonder about his durability over the course of 17.
So I got one question for you, Linnell. You got my $5 from Anthony whooping your ass in basketball?
Hey, Dump Truck Don.
Yeah.
Say goodbye. That's going to do it, though, here for the Burgundy and Gold today. If you missed any of the show.
Hey, that was a good one, man.
That was a good one.
Hey, you know what? Do you have it? Look, give it to me, okay. And I'll give it to him.
That's okay. If you missed any of the show, download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature. We're back with you on Monday. We'll have our 53-man roster 2.0. Who is going to step up tomorrow in the preseason finale against the Baltimore Ravens? Find out. You can hear from me next tomorrow right here on the Team 980 for the Burgundy and Gold postgame show. Have a good weekend.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.